Welcome back to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. And yes, we are taking your calls for the rest of the night. This is Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM. Now let's get to the phones. You can follow me on Twitter at J Church Radio. Any comments or anything at J Church Radio on Twitter. It's live to my left. And let's go to Bob in Miami, Florida. Miami Bob, welcome to Coast AM. Hey, Bob.
Hey, Jimmy, good to hear from you. I'd like to change the pace when you come on and take George's place for a while. It gives the show a nice flavor. But what I was going to say was, we're talking about this conspiracy. That's what I was going to talk with Sean about. But what are these conspiracies? Are they real? Are they made up?
Are you asking me?
Yeah, I'm curious. I'm curious. How would you feel about them?
Well, see, the thing is, Bob, and I had said it at the beginning of the show, when you go down the list and you just start to look at some of the things that are right in front of us right now, you know, it's like take out your pen, Bob, and write this down. You have 9/11, you have ISIS, you have MH370, you have the pyramids in Giza, you have Kennedy, you have Vietnam, you have Ebola, you have life on Mars. What, did we go to the moon or not? We have the Federal Reserve.
Travel.
Yeah, E.T., space travel. You know, it's right out of the secret space program. You know, so we have to move on past, you know, what is coincidence and what it is that we need to just question ourselves and look at our own reality. You know?
Reality is death and taxes, isn't it?
That's right, Bob. Hey, I want you to have a great, safe evening, Bob, and thank you.
Well, I wanted to talk more, but take care, Jimmy.
Yeah, you too, Bob. Bob from Miami, Florida. Let's go to Pete in Tiny Township, Canada. Pete, welcome to Coast AM.
Yeah, good evening, good night to all listeners. Yeah, I like your change of flavor, too. You do a fine job hosting.
No, thank you.
And Sean Stone, I was an instant fan the first time I saw him on Buzzsaw. He was interviewing Christopher Bolin. And about 9/11, and I've also got on a memory stick him interviewing Webster Tarpley.
Yes.
All things false flag sort of thing. What I was going to ask him about, how do we teach, how do we get into our school programs teaching our new generations about false flags? When I went to school, we learned about false flags in relationship to piracy, pirate ships.
Right.
But I ask people about it nowadays because I've been looking into the subject matter for the last couple of years, and no one seems to know what it means.
Yeah, the definition has gotten blurred. You're absolutely right. The original definition of what a false flag was, where pirate ships would raise the friendly flag of a ship off in the distance so that, you know, they could pull up alongside it and then, of course, you know, attack and take over that ship and rob it. That's... you know, the definition of false flag. It's gotten a little blurred today, but I agree. Everything today now, and rightly so, when there an incident happens and there's, you know, a couple of questions about it that don't seem quite right, immediately we say that it's a false flag without understanding what the definition of false flag is. But now clearly We use the term when it's something that we don't understand. And, you know, there's questions about it, so immediately it's called a false flag, and that's it. But what Sean had said and what I agree with is today I think it is the new norm. It's normal to immediately question everything instead of accept everything, and that's a healthy way to look at things. You're never going to go wrong.
Yeah, I think so. That's the way I'm looking at the world nowadays. And Sean said something very astute as well. He said there should be no conflict between the church and the truth. So good on you, Sean.
Thank you so much, Pete. And be safe up there. You know we love Canada.
Righto.
Okay. Have a good night, Pete. Let's go to Tom all the way out in New York, east of the Rockies, in the Bronx. Yeah, Tom, how are you tonight?
Yes, phenomenal. I'd just like to say the late comedian Jackie Gleason one time was said to actually invited on a military base. He knew somebody, and he actually saw a dead alien.
That's right.
Have you heard that story?
Yeah, the story, as the story goes, it was President Nixon. It was in Florida. And I think they went to Homestead. They went to Homestead Air Force Base. I believe that was the Air Force Base that Nixon took him to and showed him a craft and reportedly showed him an alien.
Right, but of all the big bombs in the world, I'm surprised he took him there, you know.
Well, they were friends, first off. You know, that was part of it. But the other part of the story that is pretty wild is Jackie ended up building a house that looked like a flying saucer. It was a reproduction with landing gear and everything. You can look it up on the net right now. Google that. Jackie Gleason's UFO house.
Computer, I never did. So.
That's okay. But yeah, Tom,
in other words, it wasn't like a wife that he, it was divorced and it just made up a story viciously.
It was Jackie that told this story. It was Jackie Gleason himself. Yes.
Yeah, well, that's really some story then. I always thought that was in Arizona, but that was supposed to be in Florida.
That was in Florida, yes.
I'll be darned. Well, anyway, you never know, right?
Yeah, that's right, Tom. Always question everything. You have a great, safe night out there in the Bronx. Let's go to Mark, Nova Scotia. Mark, welcome to Coast to Coast AM.
51st state. Anyway, and Happy New Year and a long time Coast to Coast insider. I think it's been since 2004.
Wow, Happy New Year to you, Mark. What's on your mind?
You know, sometimes I listen to your show and Jimmy, but you know, you, George, even Art back in the old days, and sometimes wondered how you could keep a straight face. But, you know, everything is subjective, so who's to say?
Always keep an open mind. Those that don't listen...
True enough, true enough. But sometimes there's a bit of a wince. Anyway, no, conspiracy, I'm kind of wondering if it's kind of an attribute of fear, which is a primal motivator, and what we don't know, we fear, and often what we don't know, we kind of want to know because, hey, Jimmy, do you want to know a secret? Of course you do.
Of course. Well, and Mark, what I had said leading into the show, and certainly Sean and I talked about it, which is this. You know, a couple of thousand, 3,000 years ago, there was something happened. A volcano eruption, it was imminent, or it was spoiled food or crops or drought, a disaster, a flood. And it was how to control the masses. We've got to create a story here. Well, that got really easy. And that's what you did to control the masses. So here we are today with mass media and the ability to control the masses. And you have to wonder if the narrative that is constant, if that narrative is completely untrue out of the gate, that it's easy for mass media and for governments to control the situation. How much of it is actually true? And is that the definition of a conspiracy? And if it is, we have to question everything.
It's kind of like the tail wagging the dog. But I think that we do seem to be motivated by fear. One last thought and question, and I'll take it off on the air. But should there be disclosure? What do you think the day after disclosure would be like?
I can answer that very easily, Mark, and thank you for the phone call. This is what I think. A flying saucer lands on the 405 freeway here in Southern California. This is what I think would happen. Flying saucer lands on the 405 freeway in rush hour, blocks up traffic all the way into the San Fernando Valley, all the way down into Orange County, no cars going anywhere. For about 30 minutes, that's going to be a big deal. After about 45 minutes, they're going to be up in arms and screaming about when are we going to get that flying saucer moved out of the freeway so we can get traffic moving again. That's the reaction. It's not going to be the big deal that it might have been back in the 40s, 50s, 60s, maybe even the 70s. We need the information, and we just need to move on. There isn't going to be any collapse of anything around the world. I just don't see it. It answers a lot of questions for religion. It answers a lot of questions about our past. And this is the one thing that we've wondered about. We look at the skies. We look at the stars. And we've done it for thousands and thousands of years, wondering what is out there and are we alone? We're ready for that answer now. So is there going to be a catastrophe? No. It's going to be there. The question's going to be answered, and life is going to move on. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Wild Card Miles in Oak Harbor, Washington. Miles, welcome to Coast AM.
Hey, Jimmy. I love your show, man, but I'm going to go on a rant right here. Like, nobody's speaking the truth. The media is all about censorship nowadays, and I'm a 27-year-old male, and all I want in a day is a good job and a good woman at home. And, like, the media talks about Amon Bundy in Oregon. Nobody, like, he's a hero, in my opinion. And I wish the media would have more about that on TV and stuff.
Well, that's not a rant. That's exactly what we're talking about tonight, which is question everything and then go and figure out stuff on your own. That's all you have to do. And you have the ability now, Miles, as you know. You listen to me, right? You listen to the media. You listen to Sean tonight. But you're able to go and answer things for yourself. Get your questions together and go and figure it out. And we didn't have that ability in 1985. The internet didn't exist. We had four channels of television. Cable was brand new. And we had Time and Newsweek magazine coming in the mail once a week. You know, we didn't have the ability to go and double check and triple check things. But Miles, you can do that today. And that's the beauty of the world we live in now.
Yeah, you're right, man. But I'm like, these politics nowadays, the country's so divided, man. I wish everybody would get along, you know. Like, our ancestors would be rolling their grave right now that saw America the way it is, I think.
Well, and again, and I thank you for the call, Miles, in that is what the media is portraying. You know, I don't see the divide. I live here in Los Angeles, a very cultural city. In that everybody's a minority here. That's the way it is. We have so much culture here that we all have to get along. So I don't see that divide here in Los Angeles, where we have tens of millions of people coexisting and loving each other. There isn't that nastiness here that the media is talking about. That's my opinion and that's my experience, but I just love this country, and I just don't see that divide that the media talks about every single day.
Thank you, man.
Thank you, Miles. You have a great, safe rest of your night. Let's go to Rob International. Rob on the International line up in Vancouver. Welcome to Coast AM.
Thank you very much for having me on. I've been itching to share this for quite a while. With regards to, you know, keeping an open mind with things, I wanted to share something that I did see in a documentary that goes back to the conspiracy idea of Nazis, Freemasons, and the space program. There's a documentary out there called The Atomic Bomb Movie, and it kind of goes through the history of the development of the atomic bomb. And at one section, there is clips of old films that show Wernher von Braun working on Atlas rockets.
That's right.
Yeah, and he highlights that, you know, he's there with his crew, I guess, or co-workers. And at exactly 1:10:50, well, 1 hour, 10 minutes, and 50 seconds in the documentary, there's a picture of an individual that is just connecting, a 4 or 5-inch hose, and it was screwing it on to something. And if you watch it slowly, and particularly in high definition, you can see on one hand, on his left hand, he clearly has a Freemason ring. And on the other hand, I'm not quite sure, but as far as I can tell in researching, it looks like SS ring on the other hand.
Well, that's interesting.
I wanted to share that to all those. I know there is a part and parcel of what the whole idea of the show of keeping an open mind and looking for things. And I wanted to share that trying to be partial and look at stories and following that idea that's been developed over time. Just something that I saw, so I wanted to share that with people who research it, or maybe I've never heard anything along these lines, but it's there.
Well, Rob, thank you. We're up against a commercial break, but thank you for the phone call. And it's no accident. And what he thinks he saw and what he observed, we can't lose sight of Operation Paperclip. And the German scientists and Nazi scientists that were brought over in this to this country, we needed to advance our rocket program. And if we didn't do it here, we didn't bring them over here, then the Red Menace or the Soviet Union would have collected those same scientists. It's what we had to do. So it was no accident, Rob. And I am sure that if there was an SS ring there, and you think that's what you saw? No, I don't think it was an accident. Let's grab one more call. First-time caller line. Hi, welcome to Coast AM.
Yeah, hi. It's a really good show. I like it, especially the guests that you pick and the way you present your show.
Thank you, Tiberius.
Yeah, I was having a lucid dream. I tend to have that gift, and all of a sudden about 3 or 4 in the morning I got yanked into a vision, and I was looking down at the West Coast, and then I kind of zoomed into the Bay Area, Santa Monica and El Segundo. And
Tiberius, we have about 20 seconds.
Okay, and the military, they were pushing buildings over to block the roads so that the Chinese could not use those roads to easily access the coastal routes to go into the interior of the United States.
Now that is interesting. It sounded like sounds like some kind of precog. Tiberius, that is really interesting. This is Coast to Coast AM. More of your calls when we come back. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Be back right after this. Stay with us. Have you seen the crazy picture over at coasttocoastam.com of the mountain lion with what looks like horns growing out of the top of his head? Wildlife officials are completely confused over this discovery. It has biologists completely puzzled. Go and look at this picture and read the article right now over at coasttocoastam.com. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Sitting in for George Norrie tonight, he's out taking a night off, well-deserved. This is Coast to Coast AM. More of your calls right after this short break. Stay with us. Welcome back to Coast AM. Are we living in a matrix? Is it all a hologram? You look to the left, you look to the right, and you look for truth. Is it all just a conspiracy? Well, today we must question everything, and we have the ability to do just that. Let's go to East of the Rockies. Robert in Ohio, welcome to Coast AM.
Hello, how are you?
Doing good, Robert. What's on your mind?
Hey, you were talking about things in the spiritual realm. I used to do appliance repair, and we were down in this basement working on this lady's dryer. Myself, I was down there, and this lady that owned the house, and the crazy thing was that she seemed like a very Christian lady, and there was Bibles and crosses on the walls and everything. And I'm down there, and to get it to the heating element, you have to pull a cabinet off the dryer, and you have to kind of crawl into the cabinet to get to the front of the cabinet to get to the element. And I'm in there working away, and she's talking to me, and all of a sudden, it was so strange, just the energy left the room, and it got cold in the room, and she stopped talking. And I was like, oh, wow, what's going on, you know? So I kind of peek out of the cabinet and look over at her, and she's just sitting on the floor, Her head was slightly tipped sideways. Her eyes were glass black. I mean, they were just black. And she was just, like, lifeless. And, I mean, it was like, whoa, what is this, you know? So I got back inside the cabin of the dryer. I was like, Lord, get that thing out of here, you know? And just shortly afterwards, the room warmed back up. And I looked back out of the dryer, and she's sitting over there holding her head. And she's just holding her head saying, oh, I'm just so exhausted. She said, I think I'm going to go upstairs and lay down. And there was some kind of, there was some sort of possession of that lady.
Robert, that's very interesting. I want to jump back here for a second, though. Did you say her eyes went completely black?
Black. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was talking to one of my pastors sometime back, and he said, yeah, they call that doll eyes. And I guess it's got to do with evil possessions and stuff like that.
Well, when you say all black, though, so she didn't have any whites in her eyes?
No.
Is that what you're saying?
No, her eyes were black. I mean, they were black. The whole eye was black.
What did you think you were looking at?
It was an evil entity of some sort. That's what I thought.
You have a nervous laugh right now. It sounds like it scared you.
Oh, it did. Oh, it definitely did. It still just gives me chills. And this happened 25 years ago. I've never, ever forgotten it.
Did you ever see her again?
Never again. Nope. Never saw her again.
Did you fix the dryer?
Oh, yeah. I fixed it. It was like record time.
Yeah, you made sure, didn't you?
Yeah, it was back up and running. And I went upstairs. She was laying on the couch. And I said, I'll just leave a copy of your bill here on the table. And I walked out.
That's incredible. And what did your pastor have to say about it?
He just felt that, you know, she had some sort of an evil, she was inhabited by some sort of an evil spirit. Yeah.
Wow. That's
he was part of a church in Grove City, Ohio, and they had built a new church up there. And he was telling me a similar story where the pastor, it was a brand new church, and the pastor was there at the church late one night. And he was locking up and just checking doors, and he looked out and he saw this, looked appear to be an old lady walking in the back of the parking lot, you know, and this was like later at night. And so he said that, you know, they were, she was out there, and he just took and looked down to check the door locks, and the next thing you know, he looked up, and there she was at the door, and she was speaking to them in some sort of a demonic type voice, you know, saying that, you know, that they didn't need to be there in Grove City or something. I can't remember exactly what it was he said, but yeah, and he said she had those doll eyes, and he said just as quick, you know, she was gone. He said she just gone just that quick.
that's thank you for the call, Robert. And actually, if you think about what Robert is talking about here, we have the black-eyed children and the reports about that around the country coming up and knocking on the door, and there are the black-eyed children there looking at you. Very interesting. Was that a case of black-eyed children? Very interesting. Let's go to way, way west of the Rockies. Diana, all the way out in Hawaii. Diana, welcome to Coast to Coast AM.
Hello. I just wanted to make a comment. I'm thinking that the only species that's going to disclose the alien presence will probably be the aliens themselves, because the government has an edge keeping us all in the dark, because then they would have to reveal all the dirty little secrets and the, you know, the deals that were made, and like all their secret government projects and agendas, and would be exposed, because a lot of them are linked to the alien agenda. It's all tied in, the timeline of their project. So there'd be no reason for our government ever to So it's better to keep us in the dark, keep people confused, questioning their own sanity and questioning everything around them, because it gives them the ability to fulfill whatever their plans are. They can continue on with what they're doing.
Well, haven't they, Diana, haven't they already shown themselves to us?
Yes, but they're trying to make it, like people don't, like you said, we're talking about conspiracy theory, so that people are doubting what they're seeing. See, if you keep, like, it's like a brainwashing or, you know, like mind control. Like, if you do this day in and day out, you keep, like, showing things and saying, no, then someone's going to go doubt it and someone's going to say this and that. You're just, like, creating this doubt all the time. So people really don't know really how to form their own opinion, because I just think this whole conspiracy thing is to our disadvantage, because it's making people not know what to believe. There is nothing to believe anymore. There is no truth. Truth doesn't exist. So I don't know how it's helping us. If we're questioning everything that happens, whether it's JFK's assassination or anything, whatever the topic is, it's getting us nowhere. So if we don't know the truth, all we're doing is arguing over nothing.
Well, how do you, Diana, and thank you for the phone call, but I just have to throw this back at you. How do you deal with it? Do you just simply question everything and then go and talk to your friends and your family and jump on the internet and maybe go do some research? Do you go and look for answers yourself?
I do research things myself, but here's the problem. Unless it's linked to you, your situation, for instance, an obvious one with me would be like the alien connection. So when I'm researching the truth, I have something to back it up, my experience. But when I'm researching another incident, like whether or not the hydrogen bomb
out of North Korea. Sure.
Yeah, because I can't relate it to me. So I'm just reading around, trying to come to my own conclusion, but I'll never know the real story. But because I wasn't there, it didn't happen, you know. So if you didn't actually witness whatever this event is, so it's keeping people, I think it's helping the government out like this, because I think that it's done intentionally. I think that they want this to happen on every issue. It's definitely working for them. And it's not going to be working for us. I mean, it could change the way our government, our country could become socialist and communist all because of this. Because we don't have any concrete answers to anything. So it sort of creates helplessness in people. I just see it as sort of on the flip side. Not, of course, the researching is good. But what good is the research if you don't have the truth? You need the facts. You need the truth. See, we're getting away from the truth. That's what's happening. That's my only point, I guess.
But and thank you for the call, Diana. That's exactly my intro to the show tonight. Exactly what I'm talking about here. But we have the ability. We didn't have that so many years ago, but we do today. But and before I let you go, I will say this, Diana. When you ask about the H-bomb, that it didn't affect you directly, and the reports of this, well, it didn't affect you, and you're more concerned about things that directly affect you. But the message of a hydrogen bomb in a country like that that we can't control, and that is what's scary, and it scared everybody to death. And then a couple hours later, after the initial reports that flooded out everywhere, we find out that it wasn't a hydrogen bomb, that the mass media actually reported on something that wasn't true. They reported a lie. The lie came out of North Korea. That's really not the point. The point is, why freak everybody out? And that's my point.
Let me go, but I didn't mean it that way. I didn't come out that way. I'm sorry if it sounded that way. What I was trying to say was, no, that does affect whether a bomb goes. I'm affected by that. No, what I meant to say was, I guess I didn't say my point right. Sometimes I do that. No, my point was, because it didn't happen, I can't, there's nothing I can reference it to see if it's valid. That's what I was trying to say. No, of course that would affect me. I think that's huge. It affects everybody when something like that comes off. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I can't reference it with the truth of it because, like, the alien abduction, because I went through it, I can reference things when I'm reading the research and say, okay, you know, I believe this and that. But I can't reference anything with what he did. But, oh, yeah, definitely, that's serious. No, I wasn't trying to say that this. It's a huge problem, and it affects yeah. So did I make myself clear?
Absolutely,
like,
Diana.
Okay, sorry. Yeah, thank you.
And thank you for the phone call. Let's go to, and she's exactly right, by the way. Let's go to wild card Brian in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Welcome to Coast AM.
Hi, Jimmy. Yeah, hi. I hope you're doing really well. I'm feeling fantastic over here. How are you?
It's all good, Brian. What's on your mind tonight?
It's all good. Well, I had a plethora of experiences in my lifetime, and I was just kind of hoping I can shed my experience of having an angel come to me in a meditation, which was really profound. And, yeah, that would be really...
Well, what happened? Did the angel speak to you? Was the angel male or female?
As far as I could perceive, it was male. I was getting a male energy
out of
you know, my experience. I'll tell you the story, and I hope you ask questions if you're, you know, curious. But I was having what was known as the dark night of the soul. It was a truly dark time in my life, and I was learning about all this stuff in Pandora's box and all this negativity in the world, and I felt really, really low. And I decided for the first time in my life that I was going to go into a meditation and just talk to God directly. When I did that, I went into my bedroom completely sober, and I just kind of sat there talking to God. And open-mindedness is kind of the topic of your show tonight, and I'd like to, you know, put that into concrete. It was a very open-minded experience, because what wound up happening is I was feeling so low, and I wound up crying because I felt so terrorized by all the things that were, you know, going on around us.
Well, Brian, let me jump in really quick, and I want to get some things clear before we hit a break.
Sure.
What makes you say it was an angel?
The appearance, everything, that came into perfect synchronicity. Let me elaborate. What wound up happening is I asked God for assistance. I told God that I was gonna, you know, there's this final battle of good and evil, you know, in this end times. And I told God that I want to fight on the side of good, and I want to fight on the side with, my sword. And that's what I directly told God. And it was a very vague prayer. It was just one of those things that I wanted to put my attention out there more than anything else. And what amazed me is that immediately, and I mean immediately, I got a response. What wound up happening is when I told God that I wanted to fight on the side of good and I wanted to use my sword to fight this evil, an angel was sent to me. I was laying down in my bed, and I was pretty much in the fetal position. I was really having a low time in my life, because when you hear about all this stuff, it really brings out a lot of emotion. Well, off to my left, there was maybe an 8 to 9 foot tall being. My eyes were closed, and the only way I can describe this is my third eye was blown open. My eyes were closed, and all of a sudden, I can see complete silk black around me. When your eyes close, you don't perceive color because there's a lack of photons. There's a lack of light.
And yeah, because you were in a dark room.
It was a medium lit room. It wasn't like midnight or anything like that. But what wound up happening is, all of a sudden, I can see this complete silk black all around me, and then there's this golden being standing right next to me, right at the foot of my bed. And he's 8 to 9 feet tall. I can't even tell you how tall he was. But in my misery and woe, you know, I was literally crying at this point, and I asked God, you know, who is this person standing next to me? And without a verbal response, I wound up getting a visual response. And this person, or angel, or deity, whatever it was that was standing next to me, was holding a bowl. And the bowl was made of gold, and inside that bowl was liquid gold, love, and light. all four of those properties in the same chemical composition. I don't even know how to describe it.
Liquid, gold, love, and light.
Yes, Jimmy. That's exactly what it was.
Okay, and again, we're going to be up against a break here, Brian. So I want to be very clear on this. Did you have any communication? Did you guys talk at all?
When I asked who and what are you, I got a response because that angel that was holding that liquid, gold, love, and light, he tipped forward. He leaned forward about 30 degrees or so. Who knows? But he wound up pouring that liquid, gold, love, and light right into my heart, and I can physically see this. This is something that I can see with my third eye completely blown open, and I'm in a completely sober state of mind. And when this happens, I can feel, I have to emphasize this, I can completely feel every single bit of that liquid, gold, love, and light enter into my heart and course through my veins like, nothing I can compare it to.
Well, and Brian, we're up against a break, but it sounds, I want to thank you for sharing that with us. Sounds like an absolute amazing experience. And it also, if you think about it, the questions of what is alien and what is angelic, the line becomes a little blurry there, doesn't it? I want to hear from you. Phone lines are open. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'll be back right after this.